Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Man, that is one excited producer. It's a Victory Monday on the Hoffman Show. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And the Commanders are 4-1. Yep, let's talk about it. Let's dive right in, shall we? It is time for First and 10.
It's time to get the breakdown started. 1, 2, 3, 3. First up, 10 observations.
Mr. Gizai and just boom, put him right on the ground.
It's First and 10. Number one.
It took a few series, but once this offense got going, oh my God, did they get going. And by the way, they'd already scored when I think they kind of really got going. But in the second quarter, they just seemed to have such a great feel for what Cleveland wanted to do to them. And Jaden Daniels, it took him a quarter against the best defense he's faced so far to figure it out. Oh, darn. A whole quarter for a rookie in his fifth straight start, or his fifth career start. What a player this kid is. And there is so much to talk about with him every single week because we're seeing him grow. We're seeing him perform at a high level. We're wondering, hey, how much you're a defense? How do you defeat him? But I think the thing that impresses me the most, the thing that is number one in our breakdown, is his mental ability to see things well. And for not the first time this year, second, third, whatever you want to call it, I have to go back. I know it's happened at least one other time, kind of against Cincinnati. But even, I believe, you know, against Arizona, there was some extent of this, although they were successful really early on. It just never stopped in that game. But there's some times when Jaden misses throws early in games that I'm like, that's a good miss. Like, he's going to hit that throw if he gets an opportunity later, but he saw the field correctly. He made the right throw. He just executed poorly. And that's being a human being. He's not a robot. He can't put the ball in exactly the same spot, exactly where it's supposed to be every time. And, you know, receivers run a little bit differently. You know, maybe he's a little step slow on something or gets bumped on the way out. But, like, that's the right read. And at the end of the first quarter, there's a sequence like that in this game. And I actually just got done watching it on tape. I'm a little behind, so I haven't gotten through the full all 22 yet, which makes tomorrow's show really fun. But from what I've been able to watch so far, and this is something that I wrote down actually during the game, but I literally just watched this sequence back. They get the ball in the shadow of their own end zone with 101 to go in the first quarter. And they run the ball on first down. They don't really get anywhere. And on second down, they go, screw it. Like, let's take some shots. And they catch the Browns in either a cover one or a cover three. I think it's cover three. But they run verticals. And he throws. And it's a one-on-one situation, right? Whether it's cover one or cover three becomes irrelevant. Terry is wide to the left. And he is matched up one-on-one on the corner. And Jaden gives him a shot. It's a bad ball. He throws it out of bounds. But it's the right play to say, hey, this is my number one receiver. It's a weird deep shot at a quick game, if you will, right? I need to read this. There's no multiple progression. There's no risk. There is a blitz coming, but it's catch the ball in a shotgun. 1, 2, 3, ball is out. And he just misses it. And then on third down, great call by Cliff. They get three verticals, evenly spaced. Zach Ertz is the vertical up the middle as the tight end. And then you got the two verticals again on the outside. And the reason this is so perfect is because it's a Tampa 2 beater. And the idea is that in Tampa 2, you have two deep safeties guarding outside. Okay, so now there's two vertical routes by the receivers on the outside. There's going to be a safety over the top of them. Well, if the two safeties split the middle of the field and run towards the sidelines, what's open? The middle of the field. the responsibility for covering the middle field in Tampa 2 is the middle linebacker who has to run in a dead sprint and cover the middle third. And so the play is designed to just run your tight end up the middle of the field and hope that your tight end can beat that middle linebacker up the seam. And Zach Ertz wins, just not by enough, and Jaden throws the ball too far. But it's the right play call. It's the right throw in terms of the decision of where to throw the football. It's even though it's a deep shot, it's zero risk of a safety because the ball's coming out instantly. And they do a great job picking up enough of the pressure. Jaden gets the ball out, and he just misses. But he's seeing the field. And it's really clear that Cliff is on to whatever Jim Schwartz is wanting. He had the cover three beater on against that. He had the right middle field open, cover two beater on versus that. And he just had a sense of what Jim Schwartz wanted to do from that point forward. They're already up in the game because they got great field position after the fourth and one stop. And then they were able to take advantage of that. And they're off and running. Second quarter hits, bang, bang, bang. Next thing you know, they're up 20, or they got 24 points on the board at halftime. And it is the highest scoring game that we've had for the Commanders offense this season, even though it seems like they just are doing that every single week. Obviously, they slow down in the second half because they pull their quarterback at the start of the fourth quarter. Had they not done that and they had gotten past the 35-point threshold, that would have been the first time since 1983 that the Commanders offense scored 35-plus points in three straight games. Instead, they only score 34. But the feel that Jaden has, the ability for him to figure defenses out in-game, in real time, same thing really for Cliff. That is the thing that has been so impressive during this run and is the biggest test for them, obviously, coming up this weekend against Baltimore to see if they can do it again.
Number two.
Now, it is easier to do that when you can design plays where you just don't have to worry about certain things. And there is a play in the first quarter that is the epitome of this, where other teams have to dedicate resources to block where they can just trust Jaden Daniels to run away from guys. They call a boot action with 6:05 to go in the first quarter. And they just leave Za'Darius Smith unblocked. And part of it is designed to look like a zone read. And so, hey, will he take himself out of the play and go carry or go tackle the running back? Maybe. But if he doesn't, and we're running this not as a zone read run, but as a, hey, we're kind of faking inside handoff. It looks kind of like zone read. And then Jaden's going to pull it and get on the perimeter. A lot of times you might chip that defensive end. You might you straight up block him. You might have someone crack down like a tight end and make sure you seal the edge. Well, if you have a tight end that's going to come down and seal the edge, that's 20% of your eligible receivers. You only get five guys that can go out in routes. And so if you cut that number down to four, and then you have to account for the fact that you probably don't have all four of them on that side of the field that you're rolling to. You already are booting to one side of the field. So how many receivers can we get that are even in play without throwing back all the way across the field? How do we do that? Well, we just don't block that guy. We just let the tight end go into the route. And sure enough, Za'Darius Smith takes a half step inside, realizes Jaden's pulled it and kept it, and Jaden just flat out runs around him. And then he's athletic enough to create enough separation to have some space to then pull off an off-platform throw, and he hits someone down the sideline. That's the one I think that he hits Terry, and it's just a sick catch by Terry in between contact. And next thing you know, they're in the red zone. Like, what? You just leave a guy unblocked, have your quarterback boot out, and throw the ball in a tight window? That's cool. Every offensive coordinator in the league dreams of that. And Cliff is like, yeah, that's what we got. And he knows how to use it. That's good stuff. Yet, this game, I think, also felt the most sustainable.
Number three.
Of all the games that we've seen so far from Jaden Daniels. I talked about in the Arizona game, it wasn't as explosive or as impressive, as prolific maybe, as rare of a performance as the Cincinnati game, where he completes 90% of his passes, has the big throws down the field. Arizona was just much more methodical, and again, it was great. It was brilliant. It was so well done. He completes 80%+ of his passes. But I think what you see in this game is Jaden only completes 56% of his passes. That is low for the modern NFL, where, you know, a good game is going to be above 60 for sure, if not closer to 65. But that kind of a low end of, hey, is he somewhere between 55 and 70? If he's living there day in, day out, the Commanders are going to win a lot of football games. And they're going to win a lot of football games because he is going to find explosive plays. And he is Jaden in this particular case, but I would say Cliff has done a great job of that as well. Some of the screen passes, Eckler, the runs, Eckler, et cetera, et cetera. But Jaden, whether it's deep throws down the field, whether it is big scrambles, he is going to find explosive plays, and explosive plays are how you win. So as long as you're more or less staying on schedule, and 55% is good enough to more or less stay on schedule, that'll be good enough most drives to keep you moving. He's going to then be able to create one or two big plays a quarter that can get you scoring in scoring position, and or might just straight up score. And you can't play man-to-man against him because he will kill you. He will either find the right matchup and he will hit receivers with a much higher completion percentage than 55%, or he'll run. And either of those are bad for the defense. So you're now so limited in what you can do defensively against him. It's not like he's bad against the other stuff. It also limits kind of what you can do to certain formations, which is where Cliff is at his best, right? There are defenses that are unbalanced, right? Sometimes you could play too high on one side and a single high on the other, things like that. But generally speaking, a lot of zone defenses are symmetrical. And so unless you're constantly playing asymmetrical coverages and Cliff is constantly going 3-by-1, well, now you have the same amount of guys to cover a 3-receiver side as you do a 1 or 2-receiver side. That's not good math. That's easy to figure out which side of the zone you're supposed to work. And so there's just not a great solution against Jaden Daniels so far this season. Baltimore, certainly I trust to figure something out more than I do any of these other teams so far. I mean, I would have guessed Luana Romo would have had a better something than what the Cincinnati Bengals had, but he also doesn't have the horses. He doesn't have the talent. But the thing is, like, Jaden can beat you going 90% and rushing for 50 yards and doing what he did against Cincinnati, or he can beat you like this. Only, what was it, 15 or 14 completions. I think he's 14 to 25, but he rushes for 80 yards. He still throws for 238, and he finds a couple of explosive plays, including the touchdown to De'Ami Brown, that gets you points. And at the end, the result is the same. You've given up nearly 35, and you lose big time. Now, there's a lot of other factors that go into it beyond Jaden, but that's the biggest stuff that I noticed from this game that also parlays very well forward for Washington. The back half of our first and 10, let's talk about some other guys who deserve some attention, including Frankie freaking Louvu. We talk about him and everybody else next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. We roll along with our first and 10, first segment or first segments of the show. 10 observations. We hit the big ones, then we get to everything else. These are still fairly important. And let's keep it rolling with number 4.
Number 4.
Shout out to the Commander special teams, because you don't get a lot of love for those. Like, when we do our film review, we don't talk special teams ever. I don't even watch special team snaps. I'm just like, next, get me back to the offense. Get me back to the defense. I might have to watch every kickoff of this game just for my own personal entertainment, because the hits these dudes deliver on teams from, you know, Tyler Owens has been great. Oh, he was out for this one. Bryson Tremaine comes in, plays a lot of his spots. He gets a couple of nice sticks. Jeremy Reeves, obviously been delivering big hits for years. The big one in this game, Jeremy McNichols on one of the kickoffs in the first quarter. I think it was after Brian Robinson scored his first touchdown. He absolutely de-cleats the ball carrier. And you're just like, oh, that had to hurt. And it carries over into every other part of the game. The energy that these units feed each other with is just fantastic. And the number one eater of energy and feeder of energy, if you will, on the defense.
Number 5.
Is Frankie Louvu, that's a bad job on me. Clearly Frankie Louvu should have been number 4. That's his jersey number. You know what? That's an L on me. We'll review the tape. We'll get back to it. Write that down for next week. But Frankie Louvu was a man possessed in this game, and he continues to just get better and better the more comfortable he is with all the things that he's being asked to do in this defense. A blitzer from off the ball, coverage player who's making plays down the field, both in coverage and as a tackler if the other team is sometimes oh so unlucky to complete a ball where he'll just de-cleat you 10, 11 yards down the field. Obviously, as a pass rusher, he has 2.5 sacks. Overall, here's his stat line. 7 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, 2 tackles for loss, and a fumble recovery. Not a bad day at the office. And Joe Witt Jr. has done a masterful job of using him. Frankie is picking his matchups up front as a rusher, and he's starting to win a little bit more. He hit a spin move in this game for one of his sacks that was filthy. Louvu is absolutely killing it, and he is the unquestioned, like, if Bobby Wagner's the brains of the defense, Frankie Louvu is the heart. He's the thing that makes them go. And the physicality he's playing with and the play style and all that kind of stuff that Dan Quinn likes. Ooh, buddy. Good stuff. Number 4.
Number 6.
We can go with number 6. The effort showed up again. We talk about playing hard and why it matters. Playing this game where it shows up big time. And I know Jay Gruden pointed this one out on Twitter. This is one of my favorite plays of the game. I pointed it out during the game yesterday. But Jay, if you want to see it drawn up a little bit with Jay mispronouncing a lot of names, then go ahead. It's a good time. Olamide Zaccheaus on Austin Eckler's 57-yard run sprints and ultimately winds up recovering an Austin Eckler fumble 57 yards down the field. Now, okay, that's impressive on its own. Wide receiver chasing the play, making sure that he's trying to block downfield. And he wasn't the only one, by the way. Terry McLaurin was absolutely hauling behind to get down the field and try to block the Browns that were chasing Austin Eckler, which I will point out did include Myles Garrett, 50-plus yards down the field. That is disgusting. Why is that man able to run that fast? He's too big to run that fast. Humans aren't supposed to be able to do that. Anyway, Zaccheaus, though, he runs a jet motion on this, so he comes across, or an orbit motion. So he's on the right side of the formation, pre-snap, runs behind the shotgun of Jaden Daniels to the left, and then he looks back as the handoff goes to Eckler to the right. So he has run himself all the way across the field, away from the play, and he just starts running back towards it. Back, and sure enough, as the ball pops out at the end, who hops on top of it but Olamide Zaccheaus? I will, however, shout out Brandon Coleman and Luke McCaffrey, and I think it was Tyler Biadasz. There was another lineman down there. All them dudes ran after the football. If Zaccheaus didn't get it, I think another commander probably would have, because despite the fact that they were deep in the Browns secondary, there were about 5 commanders there and 3 Browns. That is mega. That is how you win football games, because the little things that you don't anticipate can happen on plays like that, and it can be the difference in retaining a possession, getting that final block to get you into the end zone. It's really exactly what Dan Quinn preaches every single Friday, and probably other days, but especially on Fridays. You gotta finish. Finish Friday, turn into finish Sunday, and we absolutely love to see it.
Number 7.
Joe Witt Jr. is doing a really good job with some of his simulated pressures. You probably heard that term over the last couple of weeks. It's been a kind of an in vogue thing since last season, but it's picked up big time this year. Simulated pressure is this. It looks like it's a blitz. A blitz by definition is, hey, there's 4 down linemen, we're going to bring 5. So anything that's 5 plus rushers is a blitz. A simulated pressure, simulated blitz, if you will, is when we show that there's going to be 5, but we actually only bring 4. But it's not the 4 that you expect, and thus we can try to get ourselves a free rusher. So maybe 4 guys are on the line. We drop one of those guys out into coverage, and we blitz a linebacker or a safety. And because the offensive line is anticipating the 4 guys that are down rushing, they make their protection call accordingly. So how does this work functionally? If you want to see it happen in real time, go to Cleveland's second drive of the game. And on a... Oh, I didn't take it down. I think it was a second down. They dropped Dante Fowler out. He was lined up as the defensive end. And they blitz Bobby Wagner. And they blitz Wagner kind of on the outer edge of the offensive line. And DeJuan Jones, the right tackle for Cleveland, picks him up and lets Dorrance Armstrong, the other defensive end, run completely free at Deshaun Watson. Now, Armstrong misses the sack, and Watson ultimately throws an incompletion, scrambling out to his right. But you have a four-man pressure, ultimately a four-man pressure. You have one of the defensive ends, the premier pass-rushing position in the sport, run completely free. That's good stuff. And they're doing it with really fun and interesting fronts where, whether you want to call it like a 3-4, I'll have to talk through this with Logan to get the technical differences, but whether you want to call it like a 3-4 or a 4-3 under front, they're kind of consistently playing five guys on the line. And if one of them is Dante Fowler, then he can drop out in coverage and be okay in a you know, just a quick zone look. You not want to put a man-to-man on anybody, but he can go cover some space. He's athletic enough, but he's coming most of the time as a pressure. So either you're getting five blitzers or you're getting four, but you're not sure who the fourth one is coming from. And they're doing some of that with Jamin Davis when he's on the field as well. So they're using these athletic guys at outside linebacker. And it's funny because we all kind of chuckled when they listed Dante Fowler as an outside linebacker, not a defensive end. But they're kind of using him that way. It is almost a 3-4 defensive end. But on the other side, they've got a 4-3 defensive end. And those edge players in their athleticism, their ability to do different things, and the creativity with which they're then using Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu as blitzers from off-ball linebacking positions has created some real problems for some offensive lines. And I'm excited to see them continue to experiment with that moving forward.
Number 8.
Just a couple of fun facts here real quick, and then one final point. First, the Browns on one drive had too many men on the field twice in one single drive. On one of them, the Commanders were able to get a playoff anyway. The first one, the referees saw it and stopped the play and just gave the Commanders the 5 yards. On the second one, they didn't get somebody off in time or whatever it was. And actually, I don't even think they ran somebody off. The play ran, and then they realized the Browns had too many. And on that play, Jaden Daniels pulled his own read and ran for 13 yards, meaning he ran for 13 yards against 12 men. And I just find that genuinely hilarious.
Number 9.
Some fun stats from the game. One that we don't get to use. Had the Commanders scored over 35 in this one, it would have been the first time they scored 35 plus in three straight games since 1983. I referenced that stat earlier. Instead, they just have to settle for the first time that they have scored 30 plus points in three consecutive games since 2005. Yeah, since 2005. That is the eighth time in franchise history. Here's some other fun ones, courtesy of Commanders PR. They're 4-1 to start the season for the first time since 2008. They are 2-0 at home to start the season for the first time since 2011. They've recorded three rushing touchdowns in three consecutive games for the first time in franchise history. That's right, the franchise with the Hogs and Riggo and first time three consecutive games with three rushing touchdowns in franchise history. They're the second team in NFL history to have at least three rushing touchdowns in four of their first five games, joining the 1954 San Francisco 49ers. Per NFL research, Washington is the first team since 1970 to score 150 plus points in their first five games while starting a rookie. At quarterback, per Elias, the Sports Bureau research agency, Washington has won two consecutive games by 20 or more points for the first time since 1997. They also held a 28, this is just a super random one, held a 28-point lead for the first time at home since November 15th of 2015 against the Saints. There's a big screen pass to Matt Jones in that game. My memory's dumb. I hate that I know that. Jaden Daniels, first player in NFL history to have 1,000-plus passing yards, 250-plus rushing yards in their first five career games. And his 34-yard rush against Cleveland is the longest rush by a Washington quarterback since Taylor Heinicke at a 38-yarder against Green Bay in Week 7 of 2021. The list goes on and on and on and on of cool things that happened in this game. Guys that set records. Terry McLaurin over 100 for the 17th time in his career. He also recorded his longest reception since Week 9 of 2020 and passed Jerry Smith for the 7th most receiving yards in franchise history. Also joined Santana and Gary Clark as the only players to register 400-plus receptions in their first six seasons with Washington. Yeah, all those numbers add up to say things are good right now in Ashburn / Landover and everywhere in the DMV in between, which brings us to
number 10,
which is where things are not good, which is Cleveland. Yo, the Browns suck. That team is terrible. And I could not complete a game review of this without simply pointing out the Browns are offensive. That offense is a joke. It's not well designed. It's not well called. Watson's a nightmare. Their other players don't play well. I feel somewhat bad for their defense, but they're not that good either. And their good players are banged. Like, they did some good stuff. Like, Joker's good. He can run. He can hit. Delpit's a good player. Myles Garrett is banged up, so he doesn't look like Myles Garrett. But, like, there's some stuff on that Browns defense. They deserve better. That offense and that organization, that franchise, man. It was like Washington cleared out the path for being the biggest dumpster fire in the NFL, and the Browns were like, we would like to reclaim our crown. Y'all can have it. It's just the poop emoji put on your head. Cleveland, as a town, as a city, y'all deserve better. The owner doesn't, and it's really his fault anyway. So, Jimmy Haslam, look what you built, sir. It's a reflection of yourself. That's our first and 10. Up next, Tell the Truth Monday. This is when you call us. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Your calls on what you saw as the Commanders move to 4-1. It's a Victory Monday on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube on this Tell the Truth Monday, and the truth is the Commanders are 4-1. Our question is then, what do you make of that? 301-230-0980 is the phone number, 301-230-0980. That is not what that graphic is supposed to look like. Bang, bang. Okay, nope, not that one either. Where's Anthony? Now you should know how to operate this show. That's the one that we want. It's the one with the phone number on it. Not the one that says Cliff Kingsbury's at the podium. That's a different bit.
I don't even know that bit.
Yeah, we have graphics for Thursday's pick six. I want to make sure that we have Cliff and Joe graphics. They're new. I added them last week. And by the way, how was the wedding that you went to at noon on a Thursday?
Dude, it was actually a very, very, very long day. Very long day.
Okay. Well, we can talk about that later in the week. We'll have to let some of that make the air. Anyway, the point is, it's Tell the Truth Monday, and we would like you to call. Anthony, do we have the open, by the way? Because remember, we had an open for this now.
Yes, we do have an open for it.
So really, Anthony and I are locked in on this Monday. Let me tell you what. But it's Tell the Truth Monday. We want to know what you think, and let's get to it, shall we?
Tell the Truth Monday on the Hoffman Show.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Call us now at 301-230-0980 to tell the truth about the Commanders.
You can't handle the truth!
Or hit the comment section at the Team 980 on YouTube.
All right, let's get to the phones. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Teddy. Teddy, get us started. The Commanders are 4-1. What did you see yesterday? Tell the truth, sir.
I was, you know, like a lot of Commanders fans, man. You know, I'm from D.C., been a Commanders fan all my life, or Redskins fan all my life. And I was just cautiously optimistic because, you know, I have that syndrome that we've been, you know, beat so much that I don't want to be totally overly happy. But I think that what I've seen is, I mean, from the way that we're scoring from week to week, it looks sustainable. I mean, if we just had a fluke week where, you know, we scored 30 points or whatever, you wonder, is that, you know, sustainable? But the way that we're doing it, it seems like it is. And even on the defensive side of the ball, I was seeing, like, for our tackle, was it Mathis? Make plays. I haven't seen him make plays in like 2 years. So I think it's definitely contagious. We'll fly, you know, defense may not be perfect, but we're flying to the ball and playing very hard. So I think we can play with anybody. Cause if you look around the league, I mean, who should we really be scared of?
Well, I mean, if we want to play pessimist, I would say that you haven't beat anybody that's probably going to make the playoffs. Now, the Bengals, their schedule's real light over the next month. There's a chance they work their way back in and their offense is clearly rolling. But, like, the Cardinals aren't good. They did beat the Niners yesterday, but they're not good. You know, the other teams you beat, the Giants, like, they're not good. You have the Ravens this week, but they also play who's on your schedule. And by the way, when you finish last place last year, you're going to have a lot more bad teams on your schedule in the future. So I would say this, we've at least gotten to the point, Teddy, where I'm not scared of anyone. I'm not saying I would pick them against everyone, but I'm not scared of anyone. And I think that's a great place to be as a fan. We've been waiting for that for a long time. Let's go to Jamal. Jamal, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show on a Tell the Truth Monday.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Man, I am super excited, Craig, man. I'm one of those fans who's been optimistic. I've been, you know, kind of on the fence as well because we're used to this team letting us down. But so far, I must say, I've been impressed, and I think it's sustainable, like the last caller said. This game against the Ravens this weekend is one of those games that I think will move the needle even further. If they get out there and walk away with a victory against that team in their stadium, and then let's just keep it if it's an impressive win, too, because I think that's why we're optimistic. Everyone keeps saying we haven't played anyone yet, but we're beating the crap out of them.
Like, right,
we're not going
right,
out
right.
there having close games. When are we dog walking them? Which I feel like you should do to teams that aren't good when you're a quote unquote good team. So if we come out here this weekend and beat the Ravens, get ready for the Super Bowl song, Craig, because it's going to get crazy. You already know that, man. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it. No, it would get crazy. And, you know, the thing is, like, the Browns are terrible on offense, specifically. Whatever's worse than suck. Like, they're absolute booty on offense. But what did you want them? I guess, go for the shutout. Okay, yep, shutout would have been nice. You want them to finish with negative 15 points? Like, they held them to 6, and then in the fourth quarter, they got a garbage time touchdown. Okay, cool. You held them to 13. But, like, the fact that they are absolutely destroying teams, and they're barely punting on offense, like, they are playing at such a level that I think you do have to take into account. Like Jamal said, where it's like, yeah, they haven't played anybody, but what more do you want them to do? You know, pretend it's week 2 of college football and it's an SEC team facing north-south-west directional state tech? Like, no, these are NFL football teams, and they are beating them sideways. Are they going to continue to beat teams sideways? Probably not. Are they going to beat the Ravens sideways? Well, if they do, then that narrative is going to get out of control. But I also understand it. Would it really be out of control, or would it be a reflection of what happened? I just hope they compete against Baltimore, and I think they will. Like, I expect it to be a good game. But as long as they compete against Baltimore, I'll feel really good about where they are the rest of the season. Because after Baltimore, Chicago looked better, and they're in here after Carolina's in here, and Carolina's not very good. So, you know, if they lose or compete with Baltimore, they beat up Carolina in the same way they beat up these other bad teams, and then they beat Chicago. I mean, shoot, they could be 6-2 going into November. That's a good place to be. I don't have to be a math or football expert to know, hey, they only play 17 of these and they're 6-2 after 8. Is that good? Yeah, that's good. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are full, so let's take a quick break. Come back and more of your calls on a Tell the Truth Monday. 301-230-0980 is the number on a Tell the Truth Monday here on the Hoffman Show after the Commanders absolutely beat down the Cleveland Browns. Man, what a performance. And we want to know what you thought of it. Tell the truth about how you're feeling about this team. 301-230-0980. Let's keep things rolling with Christian. Christian, thanks for holding through the break. You are on the Hoffman Show.
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Man, I'll tell you what. I'll tell the truth, and I'll tell you who is the truth. I got two words for you. Frankie Louvu. That man can fly. I'm trying to tell you. I'm worried about Baltimore, as everyone else is, but at the same time, I am happy with how we are competing. Our line, our guards are pulling, we're getting good blocks in. Man, this is nothing like the Commanders, Redskins, football team that I've known, man. I remember the Rex Grossman, Albert Haynesworth days, and I can finally be able to watch a game or a non-Commanders game and just be happy to watch football because I know that we're doing good. I like our outlook for the season. I love Jaden, of course, like everyone else does. And it just feels good to watch some good football and not have to root for only my fantasy team. So it's just all great. It's all great.
I hear you, Christian. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. And, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. Like, if you just feel like you have to watch bad ball, like for me, it was my job, so at least I got paid for it. But if you're like, this is my team, I got to watch, and you're sitting there and you know there's another game or red zone or something, just one click of the remote away, you're like, no, I got to watch my team. And you're just watching crap football week after week. That's no way to spend a Sunday. Now you're getting to watch some of the best ball in the league week in, week out. That is a good way to spend a Sunday. And looks like there's going to be many more to come. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Josh in D.C. Josh, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. What truth do you have on this Tell the Truth Monday?
I mean, I got to tell the truth about the field goal kicker. I mean, he's been straight silent since we brought him in. Like, come on. Like, hey, we finally got a quarterback. We finally got a field goal kicker. We finally got a good winning culture. We finally got a real GM. We finally got a real coach. You know what I mean? We're not the laughing stock of the league no more. You know what I mean? Now we're starting to get some respect on our name. You know what I mean? And we can't, you know, we got all the right to be happy and everything like this, but, you know, we need to focus on Baltimore because that's a really tough competition coming up. Like Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, like, what are you going to do? I mean, I know our offense and defense is going to do something because they, in practice, you got Jaden Daniels running around, so he's kind of emulating a Lamar Jackson. You got Brian Robinson, you know, he's not Derrick Henry, but he's getting up there, you know what I mean? So we kind of, our defense kind of knows how to work around those two situations when it's coming to an elite quarterback and an elite running back, you know what I mean? So I just hope that, I mean, I hope it's going to be a close game for real. I'm not looking for a blowout. I'm looking for a good win and take home the belt with.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the call, Josh. And to go back to your first point about Austin Seibert, like, remember that was a huge point of consternation earlier in the season? Like, training camp the whole time after the Brandon McManus disaster, after multiple kickers miss. And what did Dan Quinn say? Hey, we're going to keep taking swings and we're going to find something. And is Austin Seibert perfect? No. If they need a 58-yard game winner, like, Seibert has kicked from that distance before, but it is definitely not his ideal. And what have they done? They found Seibert and they say, look, he is money inside 40 yards. So let's try to make sure that if he's kicking field goals, they're inside 40 yards. He's got a couple outside, so good for Austin Seibert for sure. But they've also been really aggressive and smart in their play calling. When they're in that 50-yard field goal range, they don't do what the Bengals did yesterday and just go like, well, we're in field goal range in overtime, and then Evan McPherson winds up missing because of a bad snap and a bad hold. No, they freaking just get close, and then they go for it. And on fourth and two in this game, they have the end around to Austin Eckler. That's a great play by Eckler. I can't believe he got 10 yards on that. Good design, good blocking, good execution, good enough on all the things. And then Austin Eckler makes it happen. And they avoid having to kick a 50-yard field goal. So they put him in good positions. And that's the thing. I feel like the staff has done a good job through and through, putting players in positions to succeed. The players have then held up their end of the bargain more and more week after week on defense. That is true as well. And the result is a 4-1 football team. Let's go to Derek. Derek, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. What truth do you have on this Tell the Truth Monday?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you.
All right, cool. Everybody's praising the players, but I want to give a special praise to the ownership group, Peters, and the coaching staff. One thing that is apparent to me, I've been a fan. I could probably count on the one hand the amount of games that I've missed over the last 25 years. And this year feels especially different, even though, you know, we went to the playoffs in 2005, 2007, 2012, 15, all those years. This year feels different because, one, it doesn't feel like we're going to back into the playoffs if we get there. I know I'm talking way ahead of term right now, but all those other years we were down in the hole and we had to dig ourselves out. Also, one of the things that feels different, that is different, is we are beating up on the teams that we should be beating. You know, for many years now, we have played well, and then we come against an inferior opponent and we play down to them. We might beat them, but we might eke it out. It just feels really good to just win against those games that you're supposed to win. So I'm excited for this Baltimore game because, I mean, I don't know where we are in power rankings, if everybody wants to talk about that, but I know that this game will be a good test because it's a legitimate opponent. Even if we lose, I hope it's close. If we win, wow. I'll be very impressed. I'll be elated. But like I said, just shout out to Peter's coaching staff, the organization. The culture change is happening. The culture change that we've been waiting for 25 years is happening. So I just wanted to say that.
Great. Yeah. No, absolutely great call, Derek. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening. As a fan who's been through a lot in those 25 years, much appreciated. And to Derek's point, like, I feel like fans said they wanted a culture change, and then when it wasn't exactly maybe what everyone had in mind, when, you know, you don't get the hot young coach, or, you know, obviously everyone's pretty excited about Peters, but then it's like, oh, wait, you're bringing in these older players. And I feel like now, for the most part, if you're paying attention, you get it. And the other thing that I'll say about Derek's call is, you know, oh, playoffs, we're getting way ahead of schedule. Yeah, we're still only 5 games in the regular season, but they only play 17 of these. And you already got 4 wins, which of course is as many as they had last year. But like, you go on a 3-game losing streak, you're still 500. Knock on the wood, doesn't happen. But you built yourself such a cushion that now, like, you're in a really good spot. And if you even play 500 ball the rest of the year, like, you got, let's see, there's played 5, 17, 12. So if you go 6-6 the rest of the year, you're 10-7. That should get you in. And that's why this early season matters. How you're playing at the end of this season is probably going to determine how well you do in the playoffs. But in a season that is so short, everything matters. Everything counts. And the Commanders came out ready to play this season and take advantage of what's turned out to be a forgiving schedule. And in power rankings, does that matter? Yeah. Does it matter in the actual standings? Nah. So congrats to them. They've set themselves up well. Now they have a very long finish, if you want to call this a finish, or just keep on rolling and set yourself up to see just how good you can be for the rest of this regular season. Thanks everyone who called in. We'll try to get to more calls coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Coming up next, though, Michael Phillips on his weekly visit. Despite the fact that he abandoned me yesterday in the press box, we will have Phillips on this here radio show next.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.